Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Delaney.
Good morning, Sam. Did you stay up late and watch the Oscars?
Nah.
Me neither.
People who watch the Oscars, sweeping statement here. Apologies to any cunters out there who I offend. But I've always sort of thought that people who stay up watching the Oscars, particularly British people, are cunts.
The worst kind of cunts.
Don't you think? So you're totally on board with this?
Ah, pretty much. I've got no time for any award ceremonies whatsoever in any way, shape or form.
But
they're bollocks.
The Oscars, it's like the conversations that surround the Oscars are like so stupid because people will go, oh, so, I mean, obviously you know by osmosis who fucking won the big ones, right? You can't bloody switch on the telly or the radio or Twitter without knowing. So I know that, what was it, Green Card, the one two
green,
fellas driving around
book.
In a car. That's it, Green Book, right?
Yeah.
So that one, right? So say, for example, then some cunt might come up to you and go, yeah, Green Book won. I don't know, I might have given it to Roma. And you're like, what are you fucking talking about? Like, I'm all for movies. I like movies, but these are just the subjective opinions of some strangers. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it. It's like, if say, football... Right, and yeah, I'm not for a moment suggesting that discussing football has much merit to it. It doesn't. Apologies to people tuning into this thing. It's a football podcast, but at least like it's based in something that is, you know, like one team won, they scored more goals than the other team, right? So they're the winner
like
of the game.
Statistical facts. Yeah.
Yeah, Manchester City beat Chelsea yesterday in the cup. The stats don't lie. This is not an opinion. Imagine if football was decided by opinion. So teams played all year, but then the results were discounted. And at the end of the year, some cunts you didn't know, like the owners of the clubs or whatever, all got together and had a meeting, strangers, and decided, well, I actually think that Wolves should probably get the best team award this year. Yeah. And then someone would go, yeah, it would be the equivalent of saying, well, it shouldn't, because the biggest box office hit this year was, I mean, fuck knows what it was, right?
Manchester United.
Yeah, but in the movie world, someone might go, oh, I'm pretty sure Avengers Infinity War statistically won films this year. And they go, oh, how crass, looking at the financial aspect of it. Right, but the thing is, this is just... So, fine, have your opinions and all of that, but don't come up to me when I'm at work, trying to work, and go, yeah, sit on the perch on the edge of my desk and start trying to have a serious adult conversation about the opinions of some anonymous cunts on the other side of the world and what they thought was a good or bad film. I mean, it's ludicrous.
Do you think Leicester would have won the Premier League that season if that had been the system, if it had been chosen by a panel of experts? Would they have they would have given it to Leicester because they were the underdogs and they had the best results, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I think
so
that
Leicester would have been anyway.
I think that would have been a rare year where the statistical winner would have also been the actual winner.
They kind of already do that because they have the Manager of the Year award, don't they? Which is never—it's never won by the manager of the team that's won the league, unless they've won like the treble or something. It's usually
punched above his weight.
Yeah, exactly. Like Sean Dyche, I think, won it because Burnley finished seventh. Leicester won it that year, and Wolves, the beard face from Wolves, might win it this year because he's doing really
arbitrary.
Well.
Because you might be, let's say, you know, Brighton, like, stay up but finish 17th. You know, fucking Chris Hughton might be there sitting there thinking, oi, cunts, I might not have won the league, I might not have finished 7th. But do you know how hard it is on these kind of resources with these kind of gates to even sustain this team in the Premier League? Anyway, The other cunty thing about people who are into the Oscars, right, is that this is the worst. Imagine this. Oh, every year I have an Oscars party. You cunt.
Oh,
this
God.
This is some twat, right? And he or she are living here in the UK. It happens all over the country. It probably even happens in Sunderland, mate. You just wouldn't have got the invite because people know. They can tell by the look on your face. Don't even fucking think of mentioning this in front of that grumpy cunt because he won't have it. He'll kick
quite
off.
Right.
But it happens all over the country. And people go, I'm having an Oscars party. And then everyone comes round and they all stay up. But they're in a dreary house in England. No offence, but all of our houses are dreary one way or another in comparison to the way they're living in Hollywood, right? And they get snacks in and they might even dress up. And in a way, they're pretending that they are part of the Oscars community.
Yeah.
Right? There's something really... There's something genuinely tragic about that, isn't there?
Do these people take the day off work afterwards then? Do they take the Monday off?
Yeah.
So what you only get something like, 4 weeks paid holiday a year, and you're wasting one twentieth of that.
To watch some fuckers you don't know celebrate their own arbitrary subjective opinions on, you know, a pop cultural art form. It's bizarre. But the thing is, it's people like to feel like they're part of it. And that's what... It's a shame because you kind of go, you know, like... And they're proud of it. Like, when I used to do the radio show, on a day like today, you would always have someone... And now we've got film critic for such and such on the phone to talk us through the Oscars and what happened. And they'll go, yeah, well, I stayed up. Really proud, as if like almost like they're kind of implying that in a way they were just half a step away from actually being invited to the Vanity Fair party.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I stayed up. Well, that's me. I'm in the movie business. No, you're fucking not. What are you talking about?
You're a blogger.
Yeah, you're a fucking blogger. Yeah, I stayed up. Yeah, I kind of thought, well, it was a bit of a surprise because I was half expecting the favourite to get the nod for the Oscar. What the fuck? What? Stop talking as if... This is mad. This is like, I might as well listen to my son talking about fucking, you know, Lego Ninjago. Because it's the same... It's got the same grounding in reality. And then they start getting onto what everyone wore, don't they? As well.
Yeah.
Oh, well, she fucking wore a dress by Chanel and that really wowed everyone.
Yeah.
Fuck me. Let me just say the last word on this. I've just realised something. It's no different whatsoever to me dressing up as Dick Turpin and riding around the house on a broomstick, right? Shooting at imaginary fucking soldiers and holding up and going out to my mum and making her put on a posh voice and pretend that she is a posh woman in Dick Turpin times. Right, riding across Stanmore Common and me holding her up in her carriage for her jewellery. It's the same fucking deal because I'm watching a work of fiction and as a kid fantasising that I am part of that.
Yeah.
But I stopped doing that, mate. I know that you suspect that I've still got a Dick Turpin outfit. I haven't.
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore. I stopped doing it when I was about 8, right?
But you think you increasingly think more and more about getting a new one, don't you?
I do, but that's because of this podcast, which increasingly is about Dick Turpin. But to be honest, before we started talking about this podcast, I hadn't thought about Dick Turpin for a while.
Now you can't think about anything else.
I'll admit I think about little else than Dick Turpin. But it's just the same as when I used to dress up as Dick Turpin, mate. That's the same these people having Oscar parties.
Oh, just the parties, not the entire Oscar thing. I thought you were comparing the whole Oscars to you dressed up as Dick Turpin.
Oh, let these people in Hollywood have their fucking Oscars. That's fine. It's the Oscar fans that I think are pathetic.
I wonder what the crossover is between people who have Oscar parties and people who love sport. I think there's not much crossover at all. It's their equivalent of sport. They don't get sport.
Yeah, because they talk about it like sport. And then they're the fuckers who'll be on Twitter taking the mickey. You know, I know you hate it during big games when, like, twats go on and start going, oh, there's been a soccer goal. Yay, go team.
There's been a score in the kickball. Fuck off!
Yeah, and what they're doing is they're being ironic and sort of satirising the fact that we're a bunch of adults engaging in what is basically a daft game. And it's not like we're intelligent enough to know that football is just a daft game, but we suspend our disbelief, just like you do when you go and watch a fucking film, right? It's the same fucking thing. You're not sitting there standing up going, oh my God, this is fucking real. It's actually happening. Oh my God, giant ants really have invaded the earth. Stupid.
So that's the anyway, Oscars dealt with. Before we go any further, we've had an email from James Ashton, who was the pretend vet who spoke
about
the other
day. Let's
see
what he's got to say for himself.
Who you've alleged was a bullshitter. He says, it seems I have been called out by Sam's wife on my bullshit story. Was that why? Was it your wife?
Don't bring my wife into it.
I thought it was your kids, wasn't it?
There was a number of people. They were just some of them. Was the main person who called you out was on Twitter. His name I forget, but he said, the person on Twitter said, I call bullshit on that vet story. It's a storyline from Seinfeld.
Yeah. Right, well, James says, I can assure you that it is true. I don't have any documentation to provide. As you can imagine, the lady in question wanted nothing to do with me, and the dog stick isn't something that I kept. He says, I don't think Mrs. Delaney understands the lengths a young man would go to impress a lady if there was the slightest chance of a leg over, hence my saying I was a vet. Also, the large amounts of drink that had been enjoyed throughout the day may have had a part in the proceedings. I don't appreciate my name being slandered.
What?
In calling my story bullshit, he says, I am going to have to seek legal advice from some of the greatest legal minds in the country, or maybe Sam's brother and dad.
Listen, I will see you in court, and you get first choice, right, of barrister, my dad or my brother. It's up to you.
Fucking hell. Toss a coin.
I know which one I'll be choosing, right, and I'm not going to say it. No, I'm not going to say
okay.
it.
Okay.
They've both got their merits.
Yeah, but you've got inside information.
I know who I'll go with, right?
Fine,
it's
fair
hard,
enough.
Because my dad would be really underprepared.
Mm-hmm.
He'd go in sort of really cocky, just thinking, I don't need to examine the notes. And you'd even be like, can I at least tell you about what the case is? No, I don't care. You'll only get muddled. The truth will out. He'd walk into court not wanting to know what the subject of the court case was, because that's the way he rolls. Cass would really prepare because he's very academic, but then he forgets things. He'd prepare and then he'd just forget.
So with that in mind, I still can't work out which one of them you'd have as your lawyer.
No, I'm not sure now. But anyway, I'll see you in court and leave my missus out of it. She was just one of the many people.
I believe this fella.
All right. He's gone to the effort of coming back, maybe he's right, but we have to have this out in a court of law. And it sounds like he has no... You know, most cases nowadays, they get decided on the forensics and the DNA. Yeah. And it sounds to me like he's fucking told us he hasn't got any of that. So he has got a paper-thin case.
Well,
it's his word. It's his
word
against mine.
I guess the word of your lawyer. But we'll see how that develops. Talking points! I was listening to TalkSport this morning doing the school run, and Stuart Pearce was on. Always good value. And Stuart Pearce has just come back from North Korea, Sam.
Oh.
Did you see the recent Michael Palin documentary in North Korea?
I thought they were taking the mickey out of him a while ago about going to North Korea, but I thought it was a wind-up.
No. Did you see the recent Michael Palin thing on Channel 5? It was a two-part.
No.
Michael Palin went to North Korea. It was all right, but can you imagine if it was Stuart Pearce instead of Michael Palin? That would have been watchable. Fucking hell. And he talked about going through customs when he first got there, and you've got to fill in all various forms and all this sort of thing, and you've got to hand over any books that you've got with you. And do you know what he was reading? Do you know what Stuart Pearce was reading? Kevin Keegan's autobiography.
Yes!
Stuart Pearce has taken Kevin Keegan's autobiography. My life is an electric mouse. And he's taken it to North Korea. How about that?
That's fucking great. Maybe he took it as a gift, an offering to Kim Jong-il.
Yeah. He did say that. He says there's a book and it lists all of the gifts that have been given to the dear leader over the years. And there's something like 150,000 different gifts listed in there from visitors and from foreign dignitaries and all this sort of
best,
thing.
When asked, Kim Jong-il said that easily the best gift he'd received was Kevin Keegan, My Life as an Electric Mouse, given to him by former England and Nottingham Forest captain Stuart Pearce.
Stuart Psycho Pearce. So I think that's another one we can add to the list of projects that we want to do. We take Stuart Pearce back to North Korea for a podcast.
Oh, yeah. Podcasting live from North Korea with fucking Stuart Pearce would be great. Imagine listen, I don't want to get into this, and I don't want to sound like Rory Bremner when he's on Wogan, constantly thinking of scenarios like, what do you think it would be like if Michael Caine found himself in an episode of Coronation Street? I think it would be a little something like this. But I'm just going to leave this hanging. Imagine what Roy Keane thinks about the fucking Oscars. Imagine if someone asked Roy Keane, do you want to come to my... Imagine if Martin O'Neill said, Roy, would you like to come? My wife is organising nothing fancy but an Oscars party at our luxury mock Tudor mansion on the outskirts of Nottingham. Would you like to come? You can bring Mrs. Keane, and we're just going to have some nibbles. We do ask that you dress in full dinner suit because we like to pretend that we are there at the Oscars. Would you like to come? I'm not going to start going into what Roy would say, but I think regular listeners can imagine how that would go down. And that really, sometimes you do have to run in life, you do have to do what would Roy Keane say.
Yeah.
And so if someone asks you to an Oscars party, just think, what would Roy Keane say?
Yeah. Or there's that thing I said a few weeks ago about Jimmy and Genius. Jimmy and Genius is always a good guide as to what you should do, as in the opposite of what Jimmy and Genius would do.
Yeah, that is a good
No offence to him. He seems like a lovely little fella, but no.
I don't think... What, do you question some of his decisions in life? Choices?
I don't think Jimmy and Genius ever gives any kind of guidance or advice or insight that sort of
I think
resonates
it's fair
with
to
me.
Say, I think it's fair to say that Jermaine Genius has not been there for either of us in our times of need.
No, exactly.
And that we won't forget that.
I think it's an age thing. It's an age thing. He hasn't lived the lives that we've lived. So he can't empathise with us.
He wasn't there in the 90s, was he?
No, he
wasn't there at the sharp end of the 90s.
Well, he was six.
Black Grape concerts and all the other things. Lusting over Lizette Anthony.
Yeah. Oh, God, there's another series of podcasts. Fuck.
There's another trigger. What was that sitcom called that she was in?
Three Up, Two Down.
Fucking great. With Elphick.
With Michael Elphick, yeah.
I like the bloke as well. Whatever happened to him, he was a good actor.
Who, Elphick?
No, of course Elphick was.
Oh, the other
was,
fella.
But Lizette Anthony's husband.
Rhea Burdus.
He was the put-upon husband. I mean, the one bonus, he had his old man and his nightmare mother-in-law living with him, and he was just getting it from all fucking angles, wasn't he? He would be the perfect listener to this podcast.
Yeah, but he was going to bed with Lizette Anthony at the end of the day, though, wasn't
exactly.
he?
Okay, exactly. Exactly, and that was what made it all. You sometimes thought, why is this cunt standing for it? I would just say, do you know what? Fuck all of you, I'm going straight. Which would have been a great spin-off series. I used to do a lot of spin-off sitcoms in those days, just Going Stray,
The Porridge spin-off was called Going Straight.
Going Straight, yeah. Oh, mate, what was the spin... I was trying to think when I was in Mallorca last week. I said to Anna, there was a sitcom, and I think it was a spin-off from another sitcom, and it was called Don't Drink the Water. Have I imagined that, Andy?
I can't remember that at all. Have you thought about looking on Google?
Nah, I can't be bothered with that, mate. I'm busy. But other shit.
Jimmy and Genius would Google it.
Yeah, Don't Drink the Water sitcom. So it's my mate Neville's birthday today. I'm not going to wish him happy birthday because he's fucking in his 40s. And as I told him, fuck your birthday. What are you, a child? Anyway, we were having a bit of abuse about it on our West Ham group about his birthday. And someone sent him a picture of a pound coin saying, here's a picture of a pound coin that I won't be giving you.
Right.
And it put me in mind of my mate, Alex Jones, who lived a few doors down from me when I was growing up.
Son of Steve Jones from the Pyramid Game.
No. Funny enough, no.
Another
this
Jones.
Is what's interesting. I had a... One day I will do a deep dive into dads I knew, right?
Yeah.
So my dad wasn't about, as has been well documented, he was busy defending himself in legal cases.
Of course.
Right? But my three best mates had these real contrasting... Like, my impression of what an at-home dad was, a non-stray dad was, was confused. Because on the one hand, Ollie Jones's dad was Steve Jones, the smooth-tongued celebrity host of Pyramid Game, right? Absolute top bloke, inspiration to me, great man, beautiful voice. Then, William Gallagher, his dad, who was also an at-home dad, was Tom Gallagher, and he was the one... who, when he walked around to pick up William Gallagher from Steve Jones's house, and Steve Jones offered him a beer. He went, "I haven't got time, but I'll take the can with me and have it when I get home."
On the doorstep, yeah.
And that there, that one story sort of sums up these sort of conflicting cultures, you know, that amongst my best friends. And then Alex Jones's dad, Malcolm, was the bloke who got me into West Ham, because he was from Bethnal Green, but we were living in Brentford. But he took me to West Ham and got me really into West Ham. But the family were Cockneys, Andy.
Real
Cockneys from the East End.
Oh, Jesus.
And the reason it came into my mind, right? Yeah. I mean, Alex Jones wasn't, because he'd grown up in Brentford. But his dad's family, sometimes I had dealings with. And yeah. They were Cockneys. And when this mate sent through this pound coin thing, this one, it reminded me, and I had this vivid memory of, on his birthday, I was round his house, Alex Jones's 10th birthday, and his granddad gave him a card. It was from his grandparents, or his step-grandma, as she was, right? And they gave him a card. It's from your grandparents. And inside, they had drawn a naked bird, right? And they'd stuck £2 coins where the tits should be and another pound coin where the fanny should be. And that's what he got, £3. One representing the tit each and one representing a fanny. And that was from his granddad. And that was when I thought, welcome to hell.
Welcome to hell for the first time.
I thought to myself, well, this is the Cockney way.
Right. Right, hang on, because there's been a major development while you've been telling me that story. Don't drink the water. Yes, that was a sitcom spin-off. And it was a spin-off from, wait for it, On the Buses.
Ah!
And
brilliant.
The storyline follows Blakey from On the Buses and his sister Dorothy, who's played by Pat Coombs, living in Spain after their retirement.
Brilliant.
There are 13 episodes of Don't Drink the Water. They are all on YouTube. I think we both know what happens next.
Deep dive.
That sounds fucking brilliant.
I'm going to have to tell Mrs. Delaney that new French Netflix series that she wanted to watch over the next 2 weeks is cancelled. We're not watching that. I got something even better. Fire up the old YouTube. It's time to watch Don't Drink the Water.
Because let's face it, the best thing about On the Buses was always Blakey.
Yeah.
So to give him his own show with Pat Coombs as well, fucking hell. Yeah, 13 episodes of that we'll be doing. We'll put that behind the paywall because that's gold content, that is. Solid
that really
gold.
Is gold. Blakey in Spain. Spain in the 70s as well.
Yeah.
It was a different beast then, wasn't it?
Different times kind of views of what Spain was like. Like like Señor Dis and Dat.
Jalapeño.
Normally being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Jalapeño.
Well, mind you, I mean, my experiences with Señor Dis and Dat, the Avis toe man, like, that's what I was shouting at my disinterested family at one point. I said, "You couldn't make it up. It's like something out of Carry On Abroad." This point where they're like trying to just walk around a beautiful medieval church.
Quizzical looks. And your kids' faces have seen no Carry On films whatsoever.
And I'm just a really, like, bright, red-faced Englishman, bald, running around angry. You know, I thought about that Avis Gate thing. It's like, when we got off the plane in Mallorca and then we drove to the destination, I said something like, oh, it's been a pretty smooth trip. And they all laughed at me because the running joke amongst my family is that whenever we go on holiday, on the first day during the journey, once we hit the foreign country, I have a track record of at some point or another absolutely fucking exploding, usually at one of the locals, right?
Really?
Because travelling with kids can be like stressful, can't it?
Yeah.
And then the heat, a man very, very, very pale like me with a Celtic complexion, bald head, so the sun's getting right into your brain. After a day, travelling, usually the point at which I fucking hit the foreign soil is the point at which something happens. It's usually like a hire car. There was an incident in Croatia the summer before last on a ferry that took us from the mainland out to the island we were going to a wedding on. And I've leapt out of the fucking car and gone berserk at the ferryman, the Croatian ferryman. It always happens. And they were teasing me going, oh, you know, this is one of the first trips you've ever gone through and you haven't exploded at any locals yet. And I was like, yeah, well, I'm a different kind of guy now. I'm very chilled out. I think a lot about my moods and my conduct nowadays. I'm much more zen. Next day, I'm fucking running around the town square in the village of Polenza shouting, it's like something out of fucking Kerry on a Broad. You can make out chasing a tow truck as they take my fucking car away. So you think you can change, you think you can work on yourself, mate, but you just don't change.
Okay. So the podcast for North Korea is actually going to be you and the kids. You and the kids, not your wife.
No, she won't come by. I am taking the kids to North Korea. It's important that they get exposed to this sort of thing.
Very good. Shall we look at some football stuff?
Yeah.
Did you have any opinions about the Chelsea goalkeeper thing?
No.
No, me neither. Not interested. I don't care, you know.
I stopped watching because it was so boring. And then I looked at my phone and I had a message from Casper Delaney to the group I've got with him and my other brothers. The title of the group is Cunts.
Of course.
And he'd just written the word paradise, which is the word he always uses when Chelsea lose. It's a good word, isn't it?
So you knew what the result was.
I just knew. Because it's like a code. He coined it years ago when I think Chelsea were in the semi-final of a Champions League against Barcelona.
Yeah.
And it was really close and they were about to go through. But then in like the last kick of the game, I think Ian Hester scored. Mm. And it was an away goal. So they went from a winning position to a losing position in the blink of an eye. Just one
paradise.
Goal.
Paradise.
And he sent through the word paradise. And so since then, it's stuck. Sounds like the name of a sort of 1980s album by like Olivia Newton-John. Although she did Xanadu. It's similar sort of word, isn't it? Yeah.
Robert Palmer
did he say? Robert Palmer, paradise. And he's just leaned against the wall with his bow tie undone.
Against the palm tree.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think this Kepa thing might have been interesting. No, it wouldn't have been interesting if the match had been any good. It was basically the only fucking eventful thing that happened in the game. So it's just been blown out of all proportion. As let's talk about this because there was nothing else. There was nothing else in the entirety of the afternoon. Manchester United versus Liverpool.
Apart from Graham Souness starting on Dave Jones.
Off the field stuff, yeah. There's people suggesting
that was the highlight of the weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's people suggesting as well that it was actually aimed at Vidic and not Dave Jones. It was Vidic that was shooting him the look because he was sitting opposite. And I think this is about Souness always needing to feel as though he's the hardest man in the room.
Yeah.
So it was a power
player. Vidic is Serbian, isn't he?
Yeah.
And I always think of the Serbs as like a dangerous race.
Very much so, yeah.
And I saw before the game, I saw there was some interest in body language because the way they'd set him up, you had little Dave Jones in the middle and then Souness on one side and Vidic on the other. But yeah, the way it was set up, they were facing each other and they were both sort of man spreading, right?
Yeah.
And Souness was not paying any attention to Dave Jones. He was just not taking his eye off Vidic. I've got my eye on you. I'm watching you, son. One move and I'm ready. Go on, I dare you. Just give me the signal.
Every word you see, every look you give me, I'm on it. I'm the daddy in this room.
You ken that song by The Police? You mind it? Every step you take, I'm watching you, you cunt. Great song that, isn't it? Hey, Vidic, I'm talking to you. Great song that. The Police. That's who it is by. You remember the lyrics to that song.
Great
right?
song. Great song, innit? Well, yeah, it's a good song. I've enjoyed it many times. No, you're wrong. It's a bad song. It's a song about a stalker. You listen to the lyrics. That man's a stalker. Is that what you're in favour of, Vidic?
Is that what you'd do? Because I tell you now, if I find out you've been stalking any of my daughters, you're a dead man. Right? Death will be what you're begging for as a release from the hell I will put you through. Is that what you're doing? You're stalking my daughters? No, I don't know. I didn't even know you had daughters. Yeah. Well, you fucking ken that, right?
He's given him that for 90 minutes while the football's been on.
Come on, Graham. I need to concentrate on the game or I won't know what to say when we go back on air. Never you mind about the game, you fucking pervert rat.
He's sitting
you
there
never
fucking,
mind that.
Fucking man spreading. I can fucking see you meeting two veg pals. He's thinking about my fucking daughters there, are you? Is that what it's about?
You fucking... Don't even look. Stop looking at the game. I have to. That's what they're paying me for. Stop fucking looking. Hey, you look at me, son, because I want to see your eyes, because I can stare into a man's soul once I've got my fucking peepers on their eyes.
Just fucking listen to this new boy. I've been doing this for 30 fucking years. You don't have to watch the fucking game. Knee cunt watches the fucking game. Just fucking shut your fucking mouth and shut your fucking legs.
Then afterwards, Dave Jones is like, oh, Dave Jones has come over all Kevin King and oh, hell's bells. Yeah. Oh, God. It's all coming out of control. Graham, I don't know why you had to be like this. You shut up, you fucking virgin.
Shut your fucking mouth, laddie.
I've told you before, you don't talk to me. But I have to, it's my job. You don't talk to me. Right. Now, you cunt. You're both cunts, but you're a dangerous cunt because you're stalking women and that's disgusting. This cunt here, Dave or whatever he calls himself, he's no problem to me. The fucking little baby hasn't even grown pubes yet.
Fucking
he's of
eunuch.
No fucking concern. Right? Look, you're the fucking concern, but I want you both to shut your fucking mouths now.
And then it gets to the end of the broadcast and Dave Jones is like, oh, that's great. Thanks for everyone. Thanks for all my guests for joining us today. And we're going over now to Wembley. Cut. And as soon as just sits there and goes, aye, that was good. That was good.
Davy boy, that was the best show we've ever done.
Oh, hell's bells. Oh, if you say so, Graham.
It was. Say it. Say it's the best show you've ever done.
It was the best show I've ever done.
Aye, it was. I think we've left the audience in no doubt now as to who the boss is around here.
Fantastic.
Vidic has just fucking scuttled out, jumped to his car. That guy's pretty crazy. I think he needs some help. What was his name? Graham? I don't know. I feel bad for
never
him.
Never heard of it. Superb.
What are you looking like that? He literally said, what are you looking at me like that for?
Yeah, fuck.
That was the sort of shit. It was Liverpool Man U before where we reserved a special episode just to look at the Keane-Souness confrontation.
Yeah.
And there wasn't one. Souness, I think, was quite silent in that game because, again, he just kept his eyes on Keane the whole time.
I think Souness accepted that Keane was the real deal and treated
like
him
you.
As an equal.
I like you, Roy.
Yeah.
I've been watching you. I've been watching you for years and you've got no reason to fear me. Because I like you. I respect you.
It was two alpha males at the very, very top of their game and there was that mutual respect between the two of them.
Circling each other slowly.
Yeah, whereas Souness obviously saw Vidic as someone who needed to be destroyed and set about doing it pathologically.
I'll dismantle you piece by fucking piece.
I'll fucking take you apart.
You see, one morning, right, I had my daughters were over with their weans, right, the little grandchildren. I've got up early one morning because every morning I get up at 3 a.m. before any other cunt can steal a march on me. See, one of the Ian's has built a whole fucking Millennium Falcon out of about 200 fucking pieces of Lego. He's almost done. I seen it in the living room. Do you know what I did? I fucking took that Millennium Falcon and I dismantled it piece by fucking piece. And I left all the pieces splayed out
on the living room floor. And when the wean gets up, he clocks what's happened. I'm sat there, cool as a fucking cucumber, looking at the wee cunt. Bring it on, wee man. He's come down and he started bawling his eyes out. What the fuck's happened to my fucking Millennium Vulcan, he said. It's taken me days. I've looked him straight in the eye. I said, aye, that was me. Got a fucking problem with that, have you, wee man? Because if you have, come ahead. I'm fucking ready. And he knew then. And sometimes it's important at a young age to set your stall out to these fucks. But see what I did with that Millennium Vulcan? That's what I'll do to you, mentally and physically, Vidic.
I'll leave okay. you fucking splayed out on the floor of this fucking studio. This fucking temporary studio.
Fucking porter cabin. Shite. Piece of shite studio this is.
Fucking
I'll
grit.
Take this to pieces as well if I have to.
Yeah, leave it the fucking car park.
I've got my fucking screwdrivers with me. Don't worry about that.
You fucking
and
put
Allen
it back.
Keys.
You put it back together, Jonesy, you wee cunt.
I'm away home.
Fucking dusts himself down. Walks home.
I'm walking home. Where do you live? Never you mind that.
I'm walking home. I fucking dismantled my car earlier by the stick.
This is it.
Shall we look at some football predictions in the prediction league before we go?
Yeah.
You had a fantastic weekend, Sam. 5 points for you.
Wow.
And 2 points for myself and results bot. So you are now 8 points clear at the top of the league. Fucking on 96. Man. I'm on 88. Results bot's on 86. We've got a full midweek programme of Premier League fixtures. Where hey.
Excellent.
So let's do some bonus predicting.
Mm.
These have all been chosen at random by the random fixture generator. So they're not necessarily the best fixtures, but they're the ones where it's the hand we've been dealt.
Mm.
And we must deal with it. Here we go. First of all, Cardiff versus Everton.
Mm. Interesting game, this. I'll go first. I've got a feeling that Cardiff might nick this.
Okay.
I'm going to say Cardiff 1-0.
1-0 at Cardiff. I'm thinking this is going to finish 1-1.
Okay.
We move on. Leicester. Managerless Leicester. Now that the game has been robbed of the sexy French voice of Claude Puel. Oh, I have
Hang
been,
on a minute. When did that
sacked.
Happen?
Oh, did you not know? Yeah, yesterday no. morning. Yesterday morning.
When? Yesterday morning.
Well, I think it happened on Saturday night. They
I'm
announced it yesterday morning.
Football.
I have been relieved of my duties as manager of Leicester City. Life goes on. You know, I will take a break. Maybe I will show up on Sky Sports as an analyst alongside Graham Souness. That will be fun.
I prefer the game on Sunday morning calls on Sunday with Cammy and Ben Shepherd. He is such a nice man, Ben Shepherd. And it is very nice. You sit there and you say, I'm ready to go back into the job market. And Cammy, he shouts and he makes his jokes. And I do not understand them, but I laugh anyway. And that is how I would like to begin. I'm not sure I'm ready to sit beside Mr. Souness just yet.
I will spend my afternoons watching Ben on his lovely show, Tipping Point, with the coin drop. As I've also got a coin drop machine in my house, which I bought with my payoff from Leicester. I love
that
to see the coins
That would take up a lot
foil.
Of my time. And presumably it'll be some extra time to spend with your wife and family, Claude.
No, I do not have a... I do not have a wife and family. I live alone. I just have my coin machine and my... I collect the little China... How you say? Canard. Canard ducks. Yes, the little China porcelain ducks. I have many of those and I tend to them. And I play the little game and pretend that they are family and they each have their own personality. Okay, you've said enough. Just enjoy your retirement.
We've got to go to a break now.
You've said enough now. Honestly, it's pretty weird.
So, Leicester, managerless Leicester versus Brighton. I think they've got a couple of lads from the club shop running things till the end of the season. So that'll work out all right, I reckon.
2-1
to Leicester.
Who's fucking sacked him? The fucking, I mean, who's in charge? It's very tragic. Let's not make light of it. But the owner of Leicester died.
Right,
and
yeah.
That's one fucking, that was obviously a huge tragedy that hit the club this year. And now they've sacked the manager. But who? Was that his missus, his widow?
It's his son. I think it's his son.
Right.
So there you go. That answers that question.
Okay.
I'm going to say 2-0 Leicester.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm going to mirror you there and say 2-0 Leicester.
Oh, you've just changed your mind. I thought you just said 2-1.
All right, 2-1.
Copycat.
2-1, fuck it. All right, I don't care.
2-1. Next up, Southampton versus Fulham. Poor Fulham.
God almighty.
I'm going to go 2-1 as well again this one. 2-1
Southampton. 2-0
Southampton. 2-0 Southampton. Onwards to Crystal Palace versus Manchester United.
Fucking hell. This is a tough one to predict because Palace have got a habit of getting results against the bigger sides and they had a cracking result the weekend. They're on good form.
I think 1-0 to Palace this one.
Yeah.
1-0!
I'll go 2-1 Palace.
2-1 to Palace. Okay. And finally, Liverpool versus Watford.
1-0 Liverpool.
1-0. 1-0. I will go for... fucking hell. 2-0 to Liverpool. All right. The predictions have now been locked in. They cannot be changed.
Put them into the machine, the processor.
They are now in the system. They're in the mechanism. Yeah. And we'll be back on Friday to discuss that. I mean, we'll be back lots of times before Friday because that's how this goes now.
Fuck me, there's loads of it.
We'll be back with the results and the update of the prediction leg on Friday. We'll be back tomorrow with another deep dive into the mailbag. And then you've got a new Keegan episode Wednesday, a Roy Keane episode for the members of the Iron Filing Society on Thursday. The superior and, listeners.
And coming soon to the Iron Filing Society, a deep dive into 1970s On the Buses spin-off. Don't drink the water. So keep them peeled for that, gang.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.